It's Friday, March 20th. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is your daily coronavirus update. Many experts have signaled that the U.S. could be in for a shortage of life-saving ventilators. While we are not currently short, hospitals are trying to brace themselves for a spike in severe cases where patients need help breathing. The government is ordering more and encouraging states to also do the same. Dr. Jeanette Neshwat, Fox News medical contributor, joins us for what to know about a possible ventilator shortage. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Neshwat.
My pleasure.
Wanted to talk about ventilators and this whole thing that we're going through with coronavirus, COVID-19. A lot of people, a lot of experts are pointing to a possible ventilator shortage. And really, that's the main supportive treatment for patients that get into this critical stage of COVID-19. A lot of them need to be put on these ventilators when their lungs just aren't providing the amount of oxygen that they need. Dr. Neshwat, tell us a little bit about this whole process of getting ventilators and this possible shortage that we could be seeing.
We don't have a ventilator shortage right now. This is just a matter of predicting the future, predicting our potential needs and preparing for the potential of having to have thousands and thousands of more ventilators. We currently have thousands in our current stockpile here in the United States, but it's estimated that we may be thousands short. But as it is right now, manufacturers have been working with our government's administration to help create and produce not only more ventilators, but also PPEs, which are just as critical for healthcare providers, PPEs, meaning gowns, masks, gloves, those sorts of things. For those that aren't familiar with what a ventilator is, sometimes an infection can get into your system and can cause shock, and people can stop breathing on their own. So the ventilator is just an artificial breathing tool until your body is well enough and strong enough to breathe on its own, if you will. So that's the purpose of that. Someone comes in with respiratory distress and oxygen isn't helping, steroids aren't helping, and they're not able to breathe on their own. They lose consciousness sometimes, and that's when we have to put them on a ventilator. And that means where we put a tube into your body so that we can do artificial breathing for you. And the goal is it's just to be temporary until your body heals.
Yeah, the administration has said that they've ordered a lot more. Obviously, we have a stockpile also, but they're encouraging states and cities and other hospitals to go straight to the manufacturers, I guess, to order them as well. These things can be very costly. One of the manufacturers is called Medtronic. So a Medtronic ICU ventilator can cost between $25,000 to $50,000. And they're big items. But beyond this also, the people needed to operate these ventilators is important also. And as you mentioned, there's not necessarily a shortage now, but we're trying to get ahead of this. So predicting the future, but there are lower numbers of people that can actually operate these things as well.
We have what are called RTs, respiratory technicians, who are just phenomenal in monitoring patients who are on ventilators. They work closely with ICU pulmonologists, and they are just critical in the field of pulmonology and ICUs. And yes, if you are short on healthcare providers, then it defeats the purpose of having the equipment. So that's why it's so important that we keep our healthcare providers that we do have healthy and safe, and also not only stock up on ventilators and other supplies, but also have surge staffing to help meet the potential surge capacity that we may see here in the next few weeks.
Doctor, I wanted to ask about your practice in general and patients that you've seen coming in, obviously worried that they might have coronavirus. You've done a bunch of testing as well. Tell us about that process and just patients that you've seen and most likely suspect that they have this as well, right?
It's not a surprise that we're going to see increased number of cases, especially as we have the expansion of testing capability. I have had patients come in with flu-like symptoms, COVID-like symptoms. The symptoms overlap. A lot of them are similar: fever, cough, shortness of breath, a sore throat, runny nose, congestion. So what we do is initially we will check their vitals and do an influenza test first, which is a quick test that you swab the nose. And if that is positive, then we stop right there and we will send them home on medications and follow-up instructions. But if it's a negative test and they have fever, low oxygen levels, and they don't look well and they meet the criteria, then we will proceed to swab them for coronavirus. And while we wait for those results, we put them on 14-day quarantine so that they are not infecting other people while we're waiting for those results, which can take several days, up to a week as it is right now. But soon, and I hope, we'll be able to have more rapid testing results
Is there any specific medicine that you prescribe? Let's say they test negative for the flu and we suspect they have COVID-19. Is there any medication that you're prescribing at that point?
As of right now, there is no FDA approved medications to treat COVID-19 coronavirus. There are some areas of the world where they're using, for example, antivirals like called remdesivir, Kaletra, some anti-HIV medicine, and some Ebola medicines have been tried. Also, some malaria medications have been used as a last resort. But as it is right now, the only thing I'm prescribing are supportive medicines. Like, for example, if someone says, I just feel a little short of breath, I will give them a breathing nebulizer machine in the office, and I will prescribe to them an inhaler, like an albuterol inhaler, for example. And if they're coughing, I will also, you know, say, hey, use a humidifier, drink lots of fluid, stay hydrated. You can use some over-the-counter cough medicine, some over-the-counter Tylenol, ibuprofen for fever. And sometimes I'll prescribe prescription strength cough medicine like benzonatate capsules or something like that, or some cough syrup only if it's needed. If they're, for example, having trouble sleeping or they're wheezing, then we'll add a little bit of a steroid too. So it's more symptomatic care, but of course, that's not all. We really have to make sure that we're giving them very strict precautions to stay home and rest so that they don't spread to other people, even if it's not coronavirus. The flu, that's contagious. You could spread that as well. And then on top of that, we give them very strict ER precautions and tell them if your symptoms worsen, if you cannot breathe, if you're having chest pain and you're short of breath, then we'll have them seek further medical care and give them emergency instructions.
Dr. Jeanette Neshwat, Fox News medical contributor and family and emergency medical doctor, thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This has been your daily coronavirus update. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.